Thank you very much, my brother. What a privilege it has been to listen to the ministry of our brother Keith and to have impressed upon us the importance of repentance. And I certainly say amen. May that message and that truth truly grip the hearts and souls of all who seek to live for God, to witness for God, and to preach for God. The Lord might use it for His glory. Well, you know where we're reading now, don't you? 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll read in at verse 7. 1 Kings 17 and verse 7. You are with us this morning. You remember, at least I hope you will, that we began a study, a brief study on the life of the great prophet Elijah. We saw him as he stood before King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, and under the authority of our great God, warned him that there would be no rain on the land until he, under God's direction, gave the word. Then the rain would come. And now he has been to the brook Cherith, and at Cherith, I trust you will remember that it was a place of cutting. It was a place of separation. And there he was separated to his God. And I'm confident that there in that a place that God spoke to him, dealt with him, and possibly informed him of other things that would take place in his life. He was a man richly blessed and a man that God used. Well, he's been at Cherith now for some time. The ravens have come and they've fed him. They brought him bread and they brought him meat, and they did so morning and evening. And now we read in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commissioned a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Loving Father, as we have heard thy voice in this past hour, we pray that we will continue to know thy presence and blessing. Once again, we pray that all the influences that would hinder the work of the Spirit of God might be shut out, and we shut into thyself. We pray in our Savior's precious and ever worthy name. most interesting passages before us. We have been with Elijah as he was there at the brook, enjoying the provision of a great and a wonderful God. I'm confident that many a day he relaxed and enjoyed the refreshment of that brook. But then we read in verse 7, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up." What sad word. The brook dried up. That on which Elijah was dependent is gone. He had been sent by the Lord to the brook Cherith, and there God had provided for him, but now the source of his sustenance was gone. The brook, I repeat, had dried up. I know many a believer, and possibly there are some here, and it seems that the thing on which they were depending is dried up. Might have been employment. It might have been health. It might have been a loved one or a relationship, and now it's gone. And the individual, it seems, just sinks to depths of despair in the fact that that which God had provided for their blessing, he has now removed. And one might ask, God, why? After all, had God not directed Elijah to go to the east, to go to Cherith? I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. I'm going to provide for you there, Elijah. Elijah might have thought, well, Lord, how come? I did what you told me to do, and you did it for a while. How come the change? And I'm certain that he must have asked many a question, as many a believer has asked during his experience in life. Elijah experienced, beloved, the same drought that the unbelievers round about him experienced. He wasn't exempt. And there in that position, what he needed to know was more guidance and more direction from God. Isn't it interesting that believers are not immune to the common, ordinary problems of day-to-day living? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. My Savior said, "He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." And so in the plan of God, Elijah was to go through the very same experiences as people in the land were experiencing. And you and I repeat, are not immune to employment difficulties, to physical difficulties, to those of relationships, whatever they might be. But I often think of those men who in Mark chapter 4 were with the Lord. You remember, they'd gone out in the boat. And they were enjoying that relationship with him. And what happened? There was a storm arose. And the storm influenced them and affected them. But also in that passage you read that there were what? Other little ships. There were others out on the lake that day. But what made the difference between those others in those other boats and the boat in which the disciples were found? One person. The Lord Jesus Christ. And when they cried, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing?" What did he do? He arose and he stilled the storm. And he said, "Peace be still." What did those disciples do? They looked at him and they said, "What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him." I like another rendering of that. I think it's W.E. Vine puts it this way. "From what country has this man come? Why, even the wind and the sea obey him." What country had he come from? Why, beloved, it was a country above the sky. And he had come to prove again his power, his authority, his deity, as he commanded the elements. The word
be still is an interesting word. It means be muzzled. You've tried to exceed your bound. Get back where you belong. Now, those disciples had him in their ship. The other little ships didn't have that joy and that privilege, albeit they received the blessing of the presence of Christ in the hearts and in the lives of those he loved. What's the lesson, beloved? It is this. You and I may go through problems and difficulties, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us. He's in the ship. And he is the one who can meet the deepest, most difficult need. And when the brook dries up, he's there. And the unconverted might not know anything about that. They won't. But you and I can go to our knees and into the very throne room of the universe because of the parted veil of which we triumphantly sang this afternoon. The window's presence. To the one who is in the presence of the majesty on high. And so, here's Elijah. And the brook has dried up. And we who have experienced the same problem, we've often had to go to him, haven't we? You see, God had a purpose in drying up that brook. He did. Elijah had come to Cherith. There, he was to experience the cutting. And now, when the brook is dried up, what's the Lord say? Elijah, it's time to move on. And I don't know what the experience is that the Lord has brought or is bringing into your life. But look at it, beloved, as the next step in the plan and purpose of God for you. What was he going to do? He was going to send him to Zarephath. And so he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath. And again, I come back to the fact that Elijah didn't debate the point. Elijah was an obedient servant. And if the Lord said, go to Cherith, he went to Cherith. If he said, go to Zarephath, he was prepared to go to Zarephath. He'd gone to the place of cutting. Do you know where he was going now? He was going to the place of refining. Refining. God had a job for Elijah to do. But he wanted to refine him and he wanted to teach him more lessons so that in turn he could carry out God's dictates and desires and accomplish great things for his God. Oh, Elijah didn't understand it all. But then many a child of God has been brought to that point in his life and he has to say, Lord, I can't understand it. I don't know why you brought me here. But if you brought me here, I'm here until you move me forward. You remember those two dear sisters in John chapter 11? Mary and Martha. They sent word to the one they loved so deeply and dearly that their brother Lazarus had died. Finally, after days, the Savior arrives in their home. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And I don't know how Mary and Martha might have reacted, but I'm sure if I had been in their shoes, there would have been a big question mark over the statement of the Lord. Lord, you know how much we love Lazarus, and now he's gone. We won't see him again. The Lord said, this is for the glory of God. And the moment came when he stood at the yawning grave of Lazarus and with one triumphant shout, Lazarus come forth. And he that had been dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Ah, the glory of God was going to be accomplished and had been accomplished. Beloved, that's what Elijah was to see and to hear. And although he might not understand all that was involved, he was to learn that God had a plan and God had a purpose. Remember, John chapter 13, the disciples are there. Lord Jesus takes a towel, wraps it around his waist, picks up a bowl of water, goes from disciple to disciple,
and he's washing your feet. Peter said, Lord, thou shalt not wash my feet. What a mistake. Say, Lord, you are my Lord, but I'm not going to let you. Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have a part in it. Oh, they're not my feet only, but my head and my hands. What's the point? The point, beloved, is this. Peter, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And I believe, beloved, in my own simple way and with all my heart, that many a child of God has been brought by his God through the refining process. He never knew the reason, but the day is coming when he will. What I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And the child of God, I repeat, he has it in writing. We're going to know. And then will we be satisfied. I've chosen to give my little meditation this afternoon a destitute widow in a sovereign God. A disappearing brook we saw in verse 7. And as we arrive in verse 9, we have the desperation of a widow. The Lord said, remember back in our passage this morning, he said to Elijah in verse 4, I commanded the ravens to feed you. And did they do it? They most assuredly did. Now what he said, he said, I have commanded a widow to feed you. What a God. God had commanded, or the word is appointed. I have appointed a widow to feed you. And so she will be used in his sustenance. Elijah must have wondered what God was doing. I wonder if he was sitting there at the brook Cherith, and the message was coming through and he was reading it loud and clear. Elijah, it's off to Zarephath where I've appointed a widow woman to feed you and to provide for you. A widow woman. Huh. I wonder if he started to think, I wonder, you know, before her husband died, I bet he left her a bundle. She'll sure be able to look after me. If God was this good down in Cherith, and now he's pinpointed or earmarked a widow woman, she obviously is one with me. She'll look after me. And maybe as he starts off for Cherith, my thoughts are running wild and he pictures a lovely white painted cottage surrounded by a nice green lawn and a white fence. Boy, he says, isn't this like God? Always looking after me. Well, as you and I know, we know what Elijah didn't know. Finally, he arrives at Zarephath. What a disappointment. Why, there was the widow woman at the gate. And what's she doing? Why, she's gathering two sticks. She would be satisfied with just two sticks. What a situation. God is going to prove himself again. That not only does he care for his servant, as he cares for you and me, but he's going to provide for his servant, just as he is prepared for you and me. He's going to do so through a poor, widow, Gentile. What a picture. Luke chapter 4:25, we read these words. There were many widows in Israel. But Elijah, get this, but Elijah was sent to a Gentile in Sidon. God didn't even send him to a Jewish Gentile, to a Jewish widow. He sent him to a Gentile, one of the dogs. Isn't God good? You see, God can take and use whoever he wishes and wills to accomplish his purpose. And that's exactly what he was about to do. God uses whom he will, I repeat, and those who are prepared to be used for him. That woman, overcome with her poverty, and in her sad situation, was one that God knew although she was outside the blessed commonwealth of Israel, she was still prepared to be used by the God of Israel. Let's take a look at this widow for a minute or two. What about her? She was at the end of her resources. What has happened? She's lost her husband. It's bad enough. She has lost her income. As far as she's concerned, her future too is lost. She says to Elijah, I'm just going to make a little cake for my son and me. Then we're going to die. And that will be it. It'll be all over. The prospect was simply this, death for myself and for my son. What a situation to come to the end of one's resources. You know, I know believers who have been in that position. They have nothing. And yet they have God. A God who's prepared to meet and to bless them. The psalmist said in 34 and verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Isn't that a great day for me? This poor man cried. That's all I could do, was just sit there and cry. And you know what happened? The Lord heard me. Psalm 84, no good thing will he withhold to them that walk upright. Beloved, God cares for his own. Thursday evening, Helen and I had the great joy of being for dinner with some of our friends. Included in that small group was our dear brother, Ben Sutton. I don't know whether you've ever heard Ben preach. If you have not, oh, you're depraved. I'm telling you. Ben is a man of God, and he loves God. He was a miner in Wales, and God raised him to be a preacher. I said, Ben, tell me again about the experience you had, and I outlined some of the details. And so the man in the back seat began to talk. He said, Arna, shortly after I felt called to go into the work of God, he said, Sarah and I were sitting at home, and the night was cold. And it was all the colder because we had no fuel. We had one child. He put her to bed and wrapped her as securely as he could. He sat down, and he prayed, and he cried. He said, I went out to the coal shed, and I swept the coal dust off the wall, brought it in, threw it in the fire. I had an old pair of boots that were almost done. I threw them in too. So he sat, and we looked at one another. And we cried, and the Sarah said to me, Ben, when we wake in the morning, the house is going to be colder than it is now. What will we do? But all I could say to was, Sarah, you told the Lord all about it. That Sunday night of all nights, there was a knock on the door. A brother appeared, a brother in the assembly. This brother was in a coal business. He said, Ben, I've just been around a brother so-and-so to take him a sack of coal, and he doesn't need it. In fact, he's got more than he needs, and he gave me five. He wondered if you could use them. He said, I got these five sacks in the truck. You'll give me him. Needless to say, he did. And then Ben and Sarah sat down and cried again. God had answered their prayer and proven himself. That when times were what seemed in such an impossible situation, their God met their needs. And that dear brother can go from experience to experience in his life for the ways in which God has met and blessed him. And so, here's Elijah and this dear widow. Everything's gone. So Elijah turns to her and in verse 12 she said, as the Lord liveth, the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I don't have a cake to give you. I've got a handful of meal in the bottom of a barrel. And that's all I've got.
And I've got a little bit of oil in a jar. And I'm gathering 2 sticks that I might prepare this oil and this meal or this flour and make a cake for my son and myself, and we'll die. Elijah said, fear not. Isn't that great? Fear not. You know, so often God's instructions to those he loves is so direct and it's so simple. She didn't need a PhD in theology to understand that. Fear not. What did he say? He went on and he said, make me therefore a little cake first. Now, you underline the word first in the Bible. What does that suggest? That suggests if there's a cake made first for him, there's going to be more to follow than him. So that's what the prophet said to this dear woman of Zarephath. You make me a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. What's he saying? You put God first because I am God's representative. You put God first. And the God you put first is a God who is going to make absolutely certain that afterwards there's going to be enough for you and your son. So what happened? Just exactly what Elijah, under God's direction, had said. And so she does that. You see, as far as this dear widow woman was concerned, she was prepared to accept as the word of God the words from Elijah's lips. Beloved, God still lives, and he still solves the problems of his saints when they're prepared to give the time and the place to him. He guides, directs, and overrules. Some will remember the year that years ago we went through that God is dead craze and theory. And I like what appeared on the bulletin board of a church. And it said this, our God lives. So sorry to hear about yours. Ah, beloved, our God's alive. And our God loves and he cares for his dear people and he meets their need. But she had it all figured out. Verse 12 again, it's just loaded, isn't it? And she said, as the Lord liveth, the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel, little oil and a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks, that I may go and dress it for my son and me, that we may eat and die. She had all the steps all marked out. And that's exactly what she thought at that time was going to happen, that we may eat it. And although the believer might, in his limited knowledge, think he knows the ways of God, he may be a way off base. Because God can take a situation and work it for his glory to the strengthening and the sustenance of his dear and beloved people. What does Paul say writing to Philemon? He says, my God shall supply, Philippians, pardon me, chapter 4 and verse 9, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Remember the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 24? Why, he said, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither shall have storehouses nor barns. You were bought by the redeeming blood of Christ. You belong to him. He cared that much for you. Don't you think he will care for you in the situations of life and living for his glory? He most assuredly will. And so, Elijah encourages her to take the action that he is suggesting. What promises come from God through his servant Elijah? There were the demands of the prophet. We read of them in verse 13.
And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me after, and after make for thee and for thy son. I was struck by those two words yesterday or this afternoon, I forgot. But what did he say? Just a little cake. Just a little cake. She might have thought to herself, well, he's asked for a big one. I don't even have enough ingredients to do that. But God is going to test her faith with just a little cake first. And when he was prepared to ask of that of her, then she was prepared to become involved. And so, the little cake is made. How wonderful to know that our God meets and cares for his people. You know, it's still in the book, Psalm 23 in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How grateful we should be. And so, she goes and she does as she's told. Elijah had proven, you see, God's faithfulness at the brook. And now he would prove it again. Dear child of God, when faced with those problems that seem insurmountable, I encourage you, having been in situations like that, you just pause and you look back over life and say to yourself, has the Lord blessed me in a similar fashion in the past? Very likely. You will recall under God's appointment the fact that he has. Then you'll be able to say, hey, look, he met my need back there. And if he met my need back there, he is certainly capable of doing so again. So, having put God first and about to experience the rich, manifold blessings of God in a further way, she now is prepared to trust her God. Fear not to trust God. Beloved, there is none other that you and I can really trust. So, Elijah says, make me this little cake. Bring it to me. Make one for yourself. What does he say? Verse 13. After make for thee and for thy son. I don't know what happened. I wish it were possible to have been there, don't you? She makes the little cake for Elijah, and she is about to take it out to the man of God, and she's walking by the barrel of meal, and she just automatically looks with it. Well, what do you know? The barrel's full. But a moment ago, it was empty. I thought of that. But there's meal there now. Just like God said. And she proved God, and God blessed her. And so the cake is made. And now, there's the declaration of the prophet. So precious to me, and I'm sure to you as well. Notice in verse 14. The cake has been made, and then, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, or it won't run out. You will never reach a point where it's depleted. Neither shall that jar of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Underline those three words. Until the day. Until the day. What's the point? Beloved, the point is this. The provisions of God are terminal. Until the day. And as far as this dear woman was concerned, God would meet her every need, and she had the assurance that that meal would not come to a termination point. There would always be meal there. There would always be oil in the jar. And God would provide. And he would bless her until the day that the Lord sent rain upon the earth. Dear child of God, I repeat, God's provisions are terminal. The day is coming when we're not going to need his provisions on planet Earth. We're waiting for for another day. Not when the day it rains will come, but when our Lord will come. And he's coming, beloved. And I believe with all my heart, he's coming soon. He will provide and he will care for you just as he cared for this dear widow, as long as she needed that special care. When the rains came and the land brought forth in its bounty once more, there would be an abundance for her again and as well. Remember the people of Israel? Can God provide a table in the wilderness? You ought to believe he can. And for 3 million plus, he did so as they made their way across the burning sands of the wilderness. Joshua chapter 5, we read these words, and the manna ceased on the morrow. After they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. What's the point? When the people of Israel were in their land, when the day came that they were safe in the God-given land, they had no more need for the manna, for the quail, and all that God had provided through the rock, the smitten rock and all. No, they were home. Dear child of God, I repeat, the day is coming when you and I will finally be in the very presence of our beloved Lord. Then, on that day, he will provide for us as we never dreamed possible. It's just when, until the day's coming, when I believe with all my heart, my beloved Father will turn to his Son, say, Son, call my people home. From the words of our beloved, lips of our beloved Lord, there will come the words, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And the believer that might even at that moment be going through times that seem to have no possible solution, they'll hear the shout, and they'll be glory bound. Why? Because the day. The dear woman at Zarephath, it was just until the day. May God, in his goodness, teach us the precious lesson that the brook might disappear and that there might be times of sheer desperation as we make our way to the city of glory and of gold. But let us listen to the words of God. Me first. Put me first. And I'll bless. And the declaration of the prophet, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sends the rain. Let's pray that that day will come very soon. Holy, loving Father, we're so thankful for the love and the care that you have blessed your people with. Day by day. We're so thankful our beloved Lord is coming soon. Well, might the poet write it as he did. I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with him evermore. Father, please hasten the day when we will be at home with the Lord. We pray in our Savior's precious name.